Why don't you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 25. I'm going to get there in just a minute. And before we get there, I have to do a quick check-in with the Taylor family. We've been checking in with Tim Taylor every week from the old 90s sitcom Home Improvement. Got a nice little picture of the family. That's one of the early season pictures of them when the boys were still young and sort of sweet. And and Jill says this, because Brad and Randy, the two older brothers, are tormenting Mark, the youngest brother. And Jill says to Tim, what are we going to do about Brad and Randy? They keep tormenting Mark. And Tim says, well, that's why we had Mark. So they leave us alone. And right there you have the great difference between moms and dads. Mom is all concerned about, we got to take care of these boys. And he's like, yeah, cool. We got some time, honey. So that's pretty funny. We are going to talk about a mom in particular today. You might think of her, if I just say her name, Rebecca. I'm not talking about my wife, although that is a pretty great mom right there. But she spells her name differently. Yeah, and yeah, don't spell her name wrong. She's very nice, but she does have her quirks. Don't spell her name wrong. And now everyone's going to sweat that. And then I'll be offended. Rebecca, if anyone wants to write her name down. But I'm totally joking. So in the Bible, this lady's name is Rebecca, Rebekah. And you might think of, like, oh, this is the wife of one of the patriarchs. It's like the mighty Rebecca. But if you've been paying attention to the rest of the stories that we've been going through in Genesis, you're going to find out very quickly, Rebecca is just as human as you are. And these heroines of the Bible have problems. They're sinful people like humanity. And if ever there was a woman who would question her role in God's purpose and in God's big plan, Rebecca's that woman. Her father-in-law, Abraham, he carried this amazing promise from God that his descendants, his offspring, are going to be like the stars of the sky. And all the families of the earth and the nations are going to be blessed because of Abraham and his offspring. Well, Rebecca is the daughter-in-law of Abraham's son, Isaac, and she has a problem. She is barren. She cannot have children. And this has been true for a long, long time. Now, she had been supernaturally chosen, clearly chosen as the wife for Isaac. And I don't have time to tell you all the story. You can go back and read the story in Genesis. But she had been chosen very clearly. This is the one. And yet, she's unable to walk out this great plan of God to make Abraham's offspring as the stars of the sky or as the sands of the seashore. For 20 years, she couldn't get pregnant. And her story is recorded in the pages of Scripture for our good. And she stands before us as a real woman, not an airbrushed, super spiritual woman, a real woman and a real mom who has challenges just like every mom in the world, just like every woman in the world, just like every man in the world, for that matter. Genesis 25, we're going to pick up in verse 19. It says this, "These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham fathered Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Paddan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Aramean, to be his wife. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If it is thus, why is this happening to me?'" In the margin, it actually says, "If it's like this, why do I live?" It was bad. This was a rough pregnancy. Why am I alive? So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. And when her days to give birth were completed, behold, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy cloak. That's an interesting baby right there. All his body like a hairy cloak. So they called his name Esau. And afterward, his brother came out with his hand holding Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob, which means heel grabber or supplanter or even deceiver. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. We're going to stop right there in the story for now. Did you catch in this that Isaac married Rebekah when he was 40 years old? And then you're just reading, it says, oh, and he prayed for his wife, and she conceived and had kids. Oh, and those kids were born when he was 60 years old. 20 years. 20 years. You know what that tells me? It tells me that every mom is a mom by the grace of God. It's not human effort, although there is some. For 20 years, she couldn't conceive. For 20 years, she wanted to be a mom. She couldn't be a mom. And there's a lot of ladies in the world today like that, that for whatever circumstances, I have a friend who says, I would love to be a mom. There's nothing I would love more than to be a mom. But I'm single, and there doesn't seem to be any prospects, and seems like motherhood is not going to happen for me. For other women, they literally would have the issue of Rebekah, where I'm married, can't seem to have kids, can't seem to get that breakthrough. But after 20 years, God brought a breakthrough. And I love that God brought breakthrough for Rebekah. He turned her drought into a downpour, actually. When she finds out she's pregnant, she's not just pregnant. She finds out she's pregnant with twins. And we actually left a church in Missoula. I joke about it and I say, we left because I was the last guy on staff in that church who didn't have twins. And we got out of Dodge. We're like, we got three. We're happy. Quiver is full with three. And the old saying is this, if you can't hit what you're shooting for with three arrows, you shouldn't be shooting. Our quiver was full at three. We didn't really leave because we were scared of having twins. But we like to joke about that. So when Isaac prayed for Rebekah, God opened her womb and she was able to conceive. I love that the breakthrough happened in prayer, with a husband praying for his wife. And I'm going to tell you what we're going to do at the end today. We're going to pray for wives. We're going to have husbands pray for their wives for breakthrough. That might mean maybe she's a mom, maybe she's not. I think most of our ladies here are moms today. Guys, it's the grace of God that turns barrenness, that turns drought in our lives into downpour in every situation. That's true for moms. That's true for everybody. It's the grace of God. If you're a mom today, you're a mom by the grace of God, no matter how those kids came about. It's by his grace. Paul says it best in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. He actually goes on and says, on the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, talking about people who worked really hard out of trying to earn God's approval. says, though it wasn't I, it was the grace of God that is with me. By the grace of God, we are what we are. I love that Paul said that because Paul did not deserve to be what he was. And you might feel, even moms, you might feel, I don't really even deserve to be called mom. I don't feel like I'm very good at it. Paul did not deserve to be called an apostle of Jesus Christ. He actually deserved to be completely rejected by God for the way he had treated the church, the way he had persecuted the church. But by the grace of God, he was what he was. And by the grace of God, you are who you are. I hope you hear that, moms. It's by God's grace. Now, Rebecca is barren. Isaac prays for her. Breakthrough happens. Her womb is healed. Her womb is opened. And she's able to have children. And what is the consequence of this? Very difficult pregnancy to where she's basically going, why am I alive? Just kill me now. She hasn't even had the babies yet, right? She hasn't even, this isn't like a hard labor. This is pregnancy where she's just like, if it's going to be like this, why am I alive? This is God's blessing for you, right? You prayed for this. You prayed for this child. You prayed for motherhood. And she hasn't even had the babies yet, and she feels insufficient already. Moms, you are not the only one who feels insufficient for the task that God has given you. You are not the only one. Look in the pages of Scripture. At a woman like Rebecca, God's written her story down here for you. He's written her story for us. That we can see this and go, thank you, Jesus, that I am not the only one who goes, why am I even alive? If you feel guilty, if you've ever said that or thought that, you're not the only one. Every mom feels insufficient at some point. It doesn't matter if your kids aren't born yet. It doesn't matter if they're babies or if they're toddlers or they're teenagers or they're adults. Every mom feels insufficient. But here's the good news. God's grace is always sufficient. Always sufficient. Things didn't go according to Rebecca's plan. She didn't have the storybook pregnancy. It was difficult. Now I'm going to jump back to Paul again. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 12. So, to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, these are revelations that God himself had given to Paul, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. And this is on the screen. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And he goes on, he says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Moms, do you ever feel like this? You ever feel like no one wants to admit it? God, why have you given me this thorn in the flesh? You ever feel like you gave birth to a war? These twins were at war in the womb. There was 2 nations already warring, already struggling with each other in the womb. And when they're born, I can't imagine. I just feel really bad for Rebecca when I hear about this, because baby one is coming out with baby two grabbing on, as if it's not difficult enough when you have one baby trying to compete with the other one in labor. This is rough. You might feel like you gave birth to a war. Sinful little messengers of Satan. You're not alone. No one wants to admit it, right? No one wants to admit this. I know my children are over here going, what? Are you kidding me? Here's the deal. God's grace. God's grace is sufficient for you. Even in, fill in the blank. Even in this, his grace is sufficient for you. When you feel like you're at the end, and you feel like, I can't do this. Even Paul pleading with God three different times. For God, please change this circumstance. And God says, actually, in this case, I'm not going to do it. You know, I'm sorry, ladies. You have to raise those children. Please change the circumstance. No. God is at work. God's purpose is at work. He is working something in you that couldn't be worked any other way. Even when your kids challenge you, and even when you challenge them, he's working in their life too. He has a great plan. This is true even if you're not a mom. This is true in every area of your life. This is true for Sunday school teachers. This is true for school teachers. When you find yourself in this place where you're stuck, you find yourself going, oh God, I'm so insufficient for this. He says, I am sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. We need to hear this. I feel this way. I'm not a mom. I'm never going to be a mom. I feel this way as we are birthing a church. And as we've got this infant church, and I literally this week was going, God, I'm insufficient for the task. I'm insufficient. And I can think of all the ways that I can be insufficient. You know what I keep hearing? My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. It's the truth, guys. It's the truth. I need to hear it just as much as every one of you needs to hear it. Now, you like to think, okay, the babies are born. It was really hard. We pushed through. We got it done. Here comes the baby. Yes, life, and everything is peachy. But the prophetic word she had heard from the Lord was this. I got to bounce back here and read it. Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. So guess what? Mama knows that baby grabbing on to the heel of his brother is the younger one, but the older one is supposed to serve the younger one. God said it. But in the whole economy that they lived in, their whole world was this. This is the older brother. He's the one who gets the blessing. He's the one who gets the double portion of the father's, whatever the father leaves in inheritance, the older brother gets twice as much as every other kid. That was the way it worked. And it's the older brother whose his job is to lead the family forward in the next generation. Only she has this prophetic word from the Lord saying the younger brother, the older brother is going to serve the younger brother. And what mom does is very interesting as they get older. Mom tries to make the prophetic word happen. Mom tries to force God's favor on her youngest son. What God had already promised he would do, mom tried to make happen in her own strength. Challenging. I know none of you moms ever do that, right? No one ever is like, I'm going to make sure my kid is a success. Of course, every parent wants their kids to be a success. Every parent wants to do everything we can do to see that our kids succeed. But here's how Rebecca did it. And I'll just say this. Every mom, all moms, not just you, all moms deal with sin in their own life. And all moms need God's grace for themselves. To be moms, to be women of God. And that's not just moms. Guys, you are not excluded from this. Every guy deals with sin. Every dad deals with sin. Every son deals with sin and needs God's grace for themselves. Rebecca did three things. First thing, and Isaac wasn't excluded, they each picked their favorite twin. This is my favorite. Isaac said, my favorite is Esau, because man, that guy can hunt. He brings home the meat, and I get to eat it. What's wrong with that? That sounds pretty good. I like this. And Rebecca says, Jacob's my favorite. And when she hears that Isaac is going to bless Esau, you can just imagine the prophetic word that she had heard ringing in her ears. The older is going to serve the younger. And she's thinking, this isn't right. This isn't right. But she goes about it in a sinful way. So not only did she choose her favorite of the twins, but she deceitfully worked against her husband's plan for the oldest twin. Now, this so applies in church life because mom's hearing from God. There's no question here. Mom heard from God. This is what's going to be. It's not like, oh, no, that wasn't really a word from God. It was a word from God. But how she approaches it is with deceit and trying to force this issue. She's going around her husband, not approaching him. Maybe she did. I mean, we don't hear what else may have gone on here. Maybe she's like, you can't do this. This is what God said, you know, and Isaac is just, you know, la, 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 la. I like the meat. I'm blessing this guy, you know. But she worked deceitfully against his plan in favor of her favorite, in favor of God's chosen one, actually. And then she convinced her son, Jacob, to go along with it. She convinced him to lie to his father. She convinced him to cheat his brother out of the blessing. And Jacob followed his mom into sin in order to get God's blessing for himself. Isn't that crazy? Moms, you have extreme influence in your kids. Your kids may even follow you into sinful practice because of your influence. Now, I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm just saying God has given you an amazing role, an amazing voice into the life of your kids. And this is why we need God's grace. This is why you need grace. Because temptation to sin as a mom, it's there. Yours may not be the same story as Rebecca's, but the temptation is going to come. Now, is ambition at play? Yeah, ambition is actually at play, probably more in Jacob. Some in Rebecca, she wants what's best for her son. And just think of how often we enter into sinful behaviors to achieve what we believe to be God's best for our life. And we'll go after something in a wrong way. How often we can try to take for ourselves or take for our kids which God has already promised. And you know what happens? Pain happens when we do that. Pain happens. Regret happens. This story, it's going to sound like it ends really badly. And I'm not reading all of the passages. This story goes from Genesis 25 all the way through Genesis 33. A little too much to read today. But what happens is Jacob goes through with it. He deceives his father. And the story's great. Go read it. I mean, mom makes up really good meat. Apparently Jacob couldn't cook. So mom cooked for him, took the skins of the animals, and covered his arms. You want to talk about how hairy that other brother was? Covers his arms with animal skins, and his father, Isaac, who's blind by then, says, yep, feels like Esau. Whoa, that is one hairy dude. Can you imagine what he looked like? Wow, no wonder he threw off the animals, man. They're like, he is an animal. They didn't see him coming. That's just crazy. So he goes in and he deceives his father. He cheats his brother. And when his brother comes back and finds out what he's done, not only is he devastated because the amazing prophetic blessing that was spoken over Jacob's life, Esau knew his father intended that for him. I mean, he's just devastated. And he's so angry, he wants to kill his brother. Wow. Sin always takes you farther than you intended to go, right? And all of a sudden, Jacob finds himself having to flee. And mom is setting it up. Get out of here. You got to get out of here. Your brother wants to kill you. We got to get you out of Dodge right now. So he has to run. You know, the Bible never tells us. That's the last we ever hear of Rebecca. There's no reunion. What a sucky ending to a story, right? Jacob and Rebecca, maybe she was able to write. I mean, but this was a multiple day journey to get from where they were to where he fled. And we have no record of them ever meeting again. The next we hear of Rebecca is when it says, oh, and this is where Rebecca was buried. And when Jacob finally comes home, it says he comes home to his father, Isaac. And all of mom's planning, all of her hopes, all the desires for her son. Actually, what she sees is her son is gone. Esau actually is thriving, and Jacob is gone. Trying to make God's blessing happen in our own way, in our own timing, it leads to pain, it leads to frustration, it leads to brokenness. But even in the middle of it, God's at work. Because the story doesn't end with Rebecca's death. Moms, the story does not end with you. The story doesn't end with your failures. The story doesn't end with all the, maybe the things you go, man, if only I had raised that child differently than this. The story doesn't end there. I'm so glad it doesn't. I will say this, remember this, you guys, you don't have to try to make God's plans come to pass through your strength. Trust God. He has a plan. And I love that God works out the plan. He works out the prophetic word that Rebecca received even after she was gone. She's dead before this ever plays out. This is really good news, guys. It does not end. It's God's plan isn't limited to your lifespan. It's not limited to what you can do. His plan is bigger. His plan is better. He has a plan for your marriage. He has a plan for your career. Fill in the blanks. He has a plan. He's going to see it through. So with all of that said, what do we do with that? I'll say this. Wise moms, not every mom learns this. The first three things are true for everyone. Moms are moms by the grace of God. True for everyone. All moms feel insufficient, but God's grace is sufficient. True for everyone. All moms deal with sin and need God's grace for themselves. True for everyone. But wise moms learn to entrust their kids to the grace of God. Not true for everyone. But wise moms learn this. So what happens? Okay, I'll say this. God's grace, okay, his grace is bigger than your best work. Bigger than the best you could possibly do. And his grace is bigger than your biggest wrong. Both of these are true. And that's really good news for all of us. Moms, the thing that you think, oh, my biggest wrong in raising my kids. God's grace is bigger than that. And as hard as you could work, and as great a job as you could do at raising your kids, God's grace is bigger than that too. So you can pray for your kids. You can instruct your kids. You can work on their behalf. But your kids have to encounter God on their own. Jacob leaves. As far as Scripture tells us, never to see his mom again. He's been mama's boy. He's been mom's favorite, and he never gets to see her again. And here's what happens to him, okay? Talk about God's grace. He's cheated by his uncle, his mom's brother. Cheated by his uncle multiple times. But God turns it into blessing. And he learns how to trust God in the middle of being cheated. The cheater is cheated and learns how to trust God in the middle of it. I like how this sounds. It sounds actually really, really juicy in our culture. He fathered children with four different women. Two of them were sisters. Yeah, doesn't that sound great? Yeah. No, I'm just saying it sounds like you're reading in like National Enquirer or something, doesn't it? You know, it's like whatever magazines you're reading in the check stand. And they're juicy stories, aren't they? Jacob fathers children with four different women. And you know what happens? Those kids become the 12 patriarchs of the nation of Israel. Wow. God's grace, the way he turns and he works everything for good to those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. He's amazing. And when God finally tells him to return home, because he actually has to get out, because now his uncle's mad, because God just blesses him and blesses him and blesses him. Every time his uncle tries to cheat him, God turns it into blessing. And God tells him, okay, it's time to go home. So he goes home. And he's headed home. And he's thinking, that brother that I cheated is still there. And I have to face this brother. And he's terrified. He's terrified. And what that does is it brings him face to face with God himself. And what his mom couldn't do and couldn't make happen, God himself comes down face to face with Jacob and wrestles with Jacob. And Jacob has to wrestle with God all night long. And it marked his life forever. You can go read the story. He walked with a limp for the rest of his life. Yes, children, wrestling is dangerous. So is football. So is everything. You can get hurt. But he wrestles with God. He encounters God for himself. And God changes his name that day. Changes his name from heel grabber, from supplanter, from cheater or deceiver. Changes his name to Israel. Which has different meanings. But one of my favorite meanings of that word is prince with God. He changes his name from this guy who has to go after and try to grab and take for himself and make God's blessing happen for himself. And God changes his name and says, you're no longer Jacob. You're Israel. You are a prince with God. And God speaks identity into his life. What mom tried to make happen, God did in an instant. It's amazing. Moms, you can entrust your kids to the grace of God. Did Jacob deserve to come home? I'll tell you the rest of the story in a minute. Did he deserve to come home and be received well by his brother Esau? No. No, he had cheated that brother. And there's more that I didn't even tell you in the story today of how he had schemed and cheated his brother. Rebecca was dead. She couldn't do anything to intervene in this reunion. And Jacob comes. He's scared, really scared. Even after meeting with God, he's still pretty scared because he doesn't know what's going to happen. And he sends gifts, like five different flocks of animals out. He sends out servants with this flock. And he says, when you meet Esau, tell him, this is a gift from Jacob. He sends another group with another flock. When you meet Esau, tell him this is a gift from his brother. Another flock, five different flocks, these herds of animals, just to begin overwhelming Esau with blessing. The brother who had been a cheater, the brother who had been taking and trying to get for himself and get one up over his brother, is coming home, sending blessing on ahead to his brother. And when they finally meet, we find out that God had protected these two brothers. In the middle of all of the scheming and the plotting and the hatred and all these things, like you can talk about sibling rivalry when they literally want to kill. That's pretty intense. And God protected them. He had provided for the brothers. And he reconciled the brothers. And Jacob's word to Esau when he comes home, they meet. And he says he falls down on his face. And Esau grabs him. And the two brothers embrace. And they weep together. Wow. Can you imagine? I mean, Rebecca's gone. She doesn't get to see it happen. But God's grace is at work. And these brothers who have been separated for years and years now, they're reconciled. And Jacob says this to his brother Esau. Please accept my blessing. Because Esau's like, brother, I don't need all your stuff. I've got plenty. I don't need all this. And Jacob says, please accept my blessing that is brought to you. Because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have enough. It's Genesis 33:11. Accept my blessing, because God has dealt graciously with me, and I have enough. The brother who was going after, trying to get the blessing, says, brother, let me bless you. I have enough. God has blessed me. His grace has blessed me. Did I deserve it? No, I didn't deserve it. And he knows it because he uses the word grace. Grace is unmerited. Grace is undeserved. And he realizes, look what God has done. He's blessed me. Moms, God's at work in the lives of your kids in ways that will outlast you, ways that will outlive you. Things that you're praying for and you think, am I ever going to see this? Maybe you won't, but your kids will. I wrote this as the last thing in my notes. God's grace does more than the best mom could hope to do. Could Rebecca have gotten those brothers together, weeping on each other's shoulders? That's tough to get brothers who get along well to do. My brother and I probably aren't going to be crying on each other's shoulders anytime soon. We love each other. I'm like, hey, this is great. But like, are we going to, that's not going to happen most likely. This was the grace of God at work. Mama couldn't make that happen, but God did. Now here's how we're going to close out today. We're going to pray. Moms, we're going to pray for you. You get to be the focus. We're going to pray for you. And I know Sherry's downstairs. I was hoping she'd be able to be up with us too. You'll have to just bless her a bunch. Bless her a bunch. God broke through a drought in Rebecca's life when her husband prayed for her. When we come together as a church family to pray for each other, there's an authority there. There's a spiritual authority to pray the blessing of God, the grace of God, just favor of God. And so we're going to pray for moms. I believe we're going to see, I don't even know areas where you might be going. In my life, here's where the drought is. Here's where it just feels desertish. I don't know what all those areas are. If you're a mom, you already have kids, so you're not. That's not a drought. But I just felt before the Lord to pray for God to take what's been dry, what's been a drought, and to pray for the downpour. Just pray for God's blessing in your lives. And maybe some of you are going, I am that mom. I so relate to Rebecca, trying to make everything happen in my own strength. And I felt like God just wants to set you free. And maybe that's part of the downpour. Setting you free from that striving and the frustration of trying to make it happen in your own strength. You know, you're trying to make that plan for your kids happen. Or you're trying to make... God says, look, I don't want you living under that law. I want you living in grace. And we're going to pray for you for that. And finally, Some of you might feel like you're... Like, here's what I wrote. Those who have been broken and feel like failures can turn to the grace of God today through Jesus Christ. Now, I know you all pretty well in here. I don't think we're going after, we need to get you saved today. But you still might feel that sense of, oh, I failed. I failed. Let's just turn to the grace of God. And let's pray. So I'm going to put the mic down at this point, and because I want to.